Good afternoon. My name is Devin Brown, and I'm from Asbury University. I'm the author of a new Lewis biography that's for sale over there called C.S. Lewis, A Life Observed, A Spiritual Biography. I also helped out with the documentary that we showed earlier at noon that's also playing at the end of the Lewis timeline. But here I'm here to talk about The Best of Screwtape. How many people have read the Screwtape letters? Can I see some hands? Because I would just say this, you could get up and give the Best of Screwtape lecture because, well, everyone has their favorite parts. And to some extent, what I'm going to tell you today, well, isn't a darn thing new, which is kind of in violation of why you should listen to me, but I'll do the best I can. My earlier talk at noon, I showed a very glamorous documentary that I'd written that was very high-tech. Today's small talk is going to be very low-tech. I have one post-it note, one book with some post-it notes in it, and I have one piece of paper that I'll show you in just a second that you won't be able to see, by the way. Long before there was Narnia, there was Screwtape, right? And on the cover of Time magazine, this is what you're not going to be able to say, low-tech, in 1947, C.S. Lewis made the cover of Time magazine for the one and only time in his life, and it had nothing to do with Narnia, had nothing to do with mere Christianity. It was for the Screwtape letters. And if you could see this, you'd see there's a devil on Lewis's shoulder right there. He writes a letter in his 50s to a friend. He says, I'm going to be one of those people who was famous in his 40s and then dies unknown. Famous for the Screwtape letters and then kind of fizzled out. Little did he know that he was yet to write the work that he would be most famous for in the next century. But anyway, this is the work that put him on the cover of Time magazine. I only have 10 minutes. I'm going to talk about five things. And if you do the math, that's 2 minutes per topic. I think that the Best of Screwtape could be almost anything we want to say, but I've picked five. The first is what Lewis has to say about reason. Letter one begins like this. My dear Wormwood, I note that what you say about guiding your new patient's reading, but aren't you being a trifle naive? It sounds as if you suppose that argument was the way to keep him out of the enemy's clutches. Jargon, not argument, is your best ally in keeping him from the church. I grew up in a very sweet, very non-academic church on the south side of Chicago, and we were taught to love God with all our heart, but they didn't say so much about loving him with all your mind there. Matter of fact, they were a little worried about this reason thing. Like as if you went off to college and started reading, well, you just might lose your faith because you might be reading too much. In letter one, Lewis makes it clear that reason is God's creation. And while the devil can subvert it and subvert jargon for true argument, when you are in real argument, fair and square argument, you are on the enemy's ground. Be careful. Letter one concludes, do remember you are there to fuddle him, not have him think, and certainly not have him think clearly. Best of Screwtape, number one, what Lewis has to say about reason. Number two, what Lewis has to say about pleasures. That church that I grew up on the south side of Chicago, well, they weren't too sure about reason, and they sure weren't too sure about the pleasures, all right? Here's what Screwtape has to say to Wormwood about pleasures. Never forget that when we are dealing with any pleasure in its healthy and normal and satisfying form, we are on the enemy's ground again, right? He made the pleasures. All we can do is to encourage the humans to take the pleasures which our enemy has produced, to take them in times or ways or in degrees which he has forbidden. If you pick up the line, The Witch in Wardrobe, and you see Edmund seduced by the White Witch through what? Sugary Turkish delight. Don't think that Lewis is against good food, right? Because when we get to the beavers, we have one of the most famous meals in all the Chronicles of Narnia. Fresh trout going from the pond to the pan, right? And that glorious stickly marmalade bun and hot tea, right? Pleasures were made by God. The devils haven't been able to invent any of them. All they can do is trying to get us to take them at times and ways or degrees, which he's forbidden. But if they twist the pleasures, just like they twist reason, well, then they can do something with them. An ever-increasing craving for an ever-diminishing pleasure, that's the formula. What Lewis has to say about reason, what Lewis has to say about pleasures, what Lewis has to say about laughter. Dear Wormwood, letter 10 begins, I was delighted to hear from Trip Tweez that your patient has made some very desirable new acquaintances. Rich, smart, superficially intelligent, and brightly skeptical about everything in the world. Scoffers. Then he warns. Be careful about thinking that scoffing is the same thing as laughter. Here's what he says. He says, I trust that this does not mean you are under the impression that laughter is always the same and always in our favor. This point is worth much attention. I define human laughter into many causes. When it's caused by joy, well, it's very dangerous. Douglas Gresham was at our school this week, and someone asked him what he remembered about his stepfather, C.S. Lewis. And he said, I'll tell you the first thing that people need to know is that you could not be in his presence for more than a few minutes without laughing. He said, when the Inklings met, and he went to a couple of those meetings, people in the room, you know, next to them in the Eagle and Child would look around the corner. What are they having such a good time laughing about, right? So true laughter, true joy is God's gift to us. This other kind, this scoffing laughter, this ridiculing laughter, that's the kind that the devils can make use of. What Lewis has to say about reason, what Lewis has to say about the pleasures in Screwtape, what Lewis has to say about laughter in Screwtape, and number 4 of my 5, what Lewis has to say about Christianity and. What we want, Wormwood tells Screwtape, if men become Christians at all, is to keep them in the state of mind that I call Christianity and. You know, Christianity and the crisis, Christianity and the new psychology, Christianity and the new order, Christianity and faith healing, Christianity and psychical research, Christianity and vegetarianism, Christianity and spelling reform. And when I teach my class, this all seems a bit distracted. I said, well, what about some of you Christianity and speaking in tongues? Or a few of you Christianity and recycling, right? Or Christianity and eating local. Substitute for the faith itself some fashion with a Christian coloring. That's the trick. All right. One more highlight from the best of Screwtape. Oddly enough, what Lewis has to say about reason, pleasures, laughter, Christianity, and what Lewis has to say about death. Lewis writes about death in other places, but I think no place does he do better than right here and in the last battle in the Chronicles of Narnia. But here's this version. There's been a patient, as you know, that Wormwood has been trying to take down the path to hell. And in the end, the thing that everyone's been praying for, that he be safe during the bombing of London, everybody's been praying that he be safe, their prayers go unanswered because a better prayer is answered. He dies in the bombing. And here's what happens. Here's how Wormwood complains. The more one thinks about it, the worse it becomes. He got through so easily. No doctor's sentence, no nursing home, no operating theater, no false hopes. Sheer instantaneous liberation. One moment it seemed to be all our world. The scream of bombs, the fall of houses, the stink and taste of high explosive. The next moment, all this was gone. Gone like a bad dream, never to be of any account again. And he saw you, and suddenly the devil it's been tempting him, is clear to him. And he also saw them. I looked at this cover of Time magazine for about 5 years before I saw the other part. There's a devil on this shoulder, but on this other shoulder is this, well, winged thing with a glorious halo around it, right? And Lewis makes it clear that if we have someone tempting us from the wrong side, we have angels of mercy, guardian angels on the other side. He saw you, he also saw them. Those who he knew he had always been with him. He realized what part each of them had played at so many an hour in his life when he had assumed himself alone. So it was you all the time. All that they were and said at this meeting woke memories, that dim consciousness of friends around him, which had haunted his solitudes from infancy was now at last explained. The central music of every pure experience that always evaded him was now at last recovered. He not only saw them, he saw him. This animal, this thing begotten in a bed, could look on him. And that's where Screwtape stops. He can't bear to discuss what it would be like for us to meet our Savior, our Lord. But that hint of it is one of my favorite depictions of death in Screwtape and one of my favorite moments. What's the best of Screwtape? Well, I like what he has to say about reason, about the pleasures, about laughter, about Christianity, and about death. Because in this book about devils and temptation, like all of Lewis's other books, is the story of the good news, right? The good news, the story of redemption and salvation, a story that ends in defeat for the devils and eternal life for us. Great book. Thank you very much.